I brought such bitterness into this place this morning that I'm ashamed of myself. And I stood back there in the corner, and my prayer was, just get this over so I can get out. Okay? Well, this is not the place you want to be to have that happen, because more times since I've been coming and since I've started a fellowship with this brother and sister, it's like light, you know? And so I'm hiding in the corner, and I'm trying to get through this and get out the door, and all of a sudden you hear, oh, George, come up here and pray. And George is saying, why? Because I did. I brought a root of bitterness in here this morning with me, and I can tell you, listening to this song about victory and all of that was just eating me alive, okay? But I was here because God knew this is where I needed to be, because the spotlight, man, you know, always in the corner, bring it up here. If you want to get healed, if you want to find peace, if you're looking for the things that make life really great, in a body of people like this is where you're going to find it, because there isn't anywhere to hide, you know. You know, there isn't. I mean, even the kids in the back sometimes will walk up and say something to me, and I'll think, You know, the little children, so, you know, and they'll say something, and you'll realize, man, I don't have it bad. I don't have it bad at all. And I complain about so much, and I say to myself, why? You know, I am blessed. And I will tell you one thing right now. I am blessed to be here in this fellowship, because I've never been anywhere, especially coming out of a Catholic upbringing, where I've met people that I believe spend time with the Lord in person, you know, like I would like to be able to do, because they speak into my heart always. And this morning, I can tell you right now, it was focused. It was focused. I was trying to hide. Forgive me, because I don't ever want to bring that in to your body, our body, and think I can sneak in and sneak out.
Thank you for that, George. Amen. That took some guts right there, because I didn't know anything was up, and I don't think you knew anything was up, but that takes some guts to come up and say something like that. So thank you for that, George. I tell you what I think the Lord's doing, George. Just like he got the people out of Egypt, but he had to get Egypt out of the people. It's just the New Jersey thing, George. God got you delivered out of New Jersey, just trying to get New Jersey out of That wasn't nice, was it? I love y'all too. I love you back. I love you back. Christine, come here. Don't hide. No, nobody gets to hide. No, you don't go to that. Just go right here beside me. You know, it's no secret, unless you're just meeting us today, that this was a year of years for us. Our 20-year-old daughter went to be with Jesus in December of this past year, and boy, it's been the hardest thing ever. But can I tell you that the Word of God is true, that He doesn't just go before us, He goes behind us and around us. He has us surrounded. You know, God's got me surrounded. And you remember a couple years ago, we had the opportunity to go to a marriage retreat for pastors, and somebody recognized that pastors need a place that they can go, and it was very nice. And the time that we spent with our counselors, as they asked us, you know, for private time, we poured out. Really, something happened back at home with Kenzie, and it just hit that trigger inside of us, a pain. So it was God allowing us to open up in front of somebody and pour out what was going on inside of us. And their response back to us was, okay, that's above our pay grade. And that's not what you want to hear. You're like, great, I wasted that one. But they said, there's this couple that we know that we want to get you, like, in their presence and connected with them and go spend some time with them. And that's when you guys sent us down to Texas. And we got to meet Brad and Karen Thompson. And what a privilege and what a connection God gave us. It's amazing how every now and again you run into somebody, it's like, where have they been all my life? And we're just so grateful for Brad and Karen. And I want them to come. While you're coming up, I want Christine to say.
Yeah, come on. This was actually last year. This is how God goes before and behind. We met them and started talking about 20 years worth of navigating a child with special needs, you know, and what it does to you and how God can heal you from that. This was before. We had no idea, but God did when he put us together that they would also walk through our darkest chapter with us and that Kenzie would actually go to be with the Lord while we were, he went before us, he put them in our life. And I just cannot even express to you the love we have for you, what you have poured into us. And every Friday we FaceTime. We have a meeting. We've been out there to see them, and now they've come here. But church, listen, I cannot even tell you the deep well and the rich treasure this couple is to your pastors. And because they are that to us, we can be what we need to be to you. Would you stand on your feet and just give them honor? Thank you.
The Bible says give honor where it's due, and it's due right here. Brad and Karen Thompson. And I want them to say something, whatever he wants to say. He's not going to preach, but because if he preached, I'd have to pay him. And but I can get a couple sentences gratis, so that's what you're going to get.
Say anything after that. Y'all sit, please. Please. One thing I can tell you is we have a flight out of here somewhere around 5, so I think John's going to have to preach a little shorter than his normal today.
I know somebody's got a crop duster. We can get down
here. I can't tell you. Let me start with this. I cry more than most women I know. So just, and Karen doesn't speak in front of groups. So John hands the mic and I end up with it. But I will tell you, one time Haley and I were speaking at this conference and Karen didn't go with us. She took the weekend for respite. And after they introduced Haley and I, y'all don't know Haley. She gets behind the stand there, and the first words out of her mouth were, my mom's name is Karen. She's not with us, but she's the smart one. And she was right. So if you have anything difficult, just cut out the middleman. Go straight to Karen. One of the great blessings of our life is to get to see how big the kingdom of God is and that it goes well beyond Amarillo, Texas, and it's so nice to get to be just welcomed in by a group of Carolinians. I guess that's how you say it. And that your strange cousins from Texas can just feel like family. And God does that because the world doesn't do that. God does that. And we just want to say how thankful we are, because we get to spend a lot of time with a lot of preachers and pastors, and what y'all have done for this family does not happen in every church. And it breaks my heart that that's true, but it's true. And who it says something about is you. It's just how precious you are. Thank you for loving them and walking with them and just being Jesus to them. Because they are truly amazing servants of God. I can't do it. But it's nice when your wife encourages you like that, you know. You know, it's always good to get that. Can I take a privilege here? Can I get y'all to stand right there? And can I get y'all to surround them? I don't know. Do y'all say y'all here? Okay. Y'all take a little longer to say it than we do. Just please surround this family. If you can get a hand on them, get a hand on them. If you can't get a hand on somebody, it's got a hand on them. Lord God, we are incredibly humbled because we recognize our unworthiness that gets made worthy because your Son made it so. And Lord, I just want to pray a rich, rich blessing over this incredible group of people who just wants to change the world for your Son. And Lord, we're so, so thankful for John, Christine, for Michaela, for Walker, and for Kenzie, as her spirit just continues to move. And to motivate and to encourage and to challenge that we might continue the ministry that she had in changing lives for Jesus. And we just pray that that continue. I pray that you give this church great strength. Father, they go into a world that is full of challenging things and darkness. And you've called us to be light into that. And I just look around and I see how bright this light shines in this community. So please, Lord, fill them, fill them, fill them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Wow, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You guys made it easy on us when it could have been hard. And we heard something different here from this body than we heard when Kenzie was born. I won't go into that. But you let me be dad, and you let her be mom. And then you let us continue to pastor you. You were so kind to us. So we're so grateful for that. Lord, let your word be sealed up. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you that it lived inside of Kenzie and it lives inside of us. And what you did put inside of her does go on and motivate. And we're so grateful for that. Thank you for this body, God. You're not done. You're not done at all. Because we're still breathing your oxygen and we know what you've put inside of us. And we know what you've entrusted to us. So we're grateful for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to give you just a little bit of review from last week, and then we're going to go on to some new stuff. But it's intermingled. The ministry that I've given, there's things that I share with you, like most ministers have been taught to me. But I say this about my preaching. Anytime anybody says something about my preaching, I say, hey, I've got some really good speakers into my life. I've got some people. I've got some men that I love. And you may never meet them because some of the stuff that they do is on a global. But this is a part of the globe, too. But what I have learned, I give to you. And I thank you for your patience because from time to time, you're going to hear some things that you may have heard before, but I'm going to continue to say them because they're the things that changed me. So the things that change you, it's only fair that they're said to other people too. Is that okay? And I believe that that's how we learn. Paul gave important principles, and he said, I'm going to give every effort to continue to say these same things to you. So that's one of the two main ways that we learn. One is association. The other is repetition. So the Word of God is powerful. So as we were talking last week, I wrote this on the board, the spirit, the mind, and the flesh. And I took significant time to write these things out. And what I told you last week is that there's always a war between the flesh and the spirit. So where is it fought out? And the clue is in what I just said, which you probably already realized. There is a war between the spirit and the flesh. Spirit, flesh, there's a war between that. It's my mind. That's where the war is won or lost. It's where it's fought at. And you've got to fight over that thing all the time. And there are things that I told you, as I explained last week, is that my spirit is saved. My mind, and I gave you scriptures towards this. If you want to write it down, I encourage you to, because it's good stuff. My mind is being saved. That's Romans 12 and 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. It's a constant thing. My mind is being renewed. So my spirit is saved, but my mind, where this battle's going on, it's getting tagged. It's getting introduced. Things are temptations try to roll through. We've talked yesterday. We've seized every opportunity to talk with Brad and Karen, but I said, you can't stop. You can't legislate what comes into your mind, and you can't stop what comes into your mind, but you can make it sure that you usher it on out. You make sure you don't set up an exit ramp for it. You hear what I'm saying? My mind is being saved, but my flesh, and here comes your good old southern word, ain't, with the incorrect apostrophe, ain't saved. You like that, Brad? My mind, my flesh ain't saved, and yours ain't either. And I grew up in church, well-meaning people that I love, but they tried to get rid of all my fleshly stuff. They tried to tell me to stop doing this, this, and this, and then I will look like a Christian when there was still a battle going on in my mind. So while I looked good at church, there was stuff that was going on during the week that didn't line up with this guy, and it was turning me into a fake guy. Now, how can I be the image of God if I'm running around fake? Let us move on. Okay, and then we learned this in Romans 8, and it's verse 6 that talks about the Spirit is life and peace, but the flesh is death. And here's the thing, you get to choose which one. And you can say the devil made me do it, but that's going to run out in a few times. Because there's, what, 6-7 billion people and one devil? If we're not careful, we'll give the devil, Christians will give the devil the power that God has to be everywhere, but he does not have that kind of power. You got to recognize that. Greater is he that is in me and that is in you than he that is in the world. So I know that his demons are doing their thing, and they're doing it well, and you need to respect that. But you have a power. The Bible says that you have an anointing and you know all things. Talking to Brad and Karen about that this morning, that God doesn't want us just to feel like. I get so worn out with Christians that say, I just feel like. And if you said that to me, I'm not thinking about anybody here. But I am remembering comments that I've heard. Because you hear it, it's like a catchphrase. Well, I just feel like the Lord wants to do this. Have you ever heard that? I don't want to just feel like when he says he has knowledge for me. I want to know. Because if I just feel like I'm guessing, what if I guess wrong? But if I know, then I can move correctly. the greater the knowledge, the greater decision I will make. You ever made a decision based on limited knowledge, and later on you got some better knowledge, and you wish you'd have had that knowledge before you made the decision you made? Knowledge is important, and God wants you to have it, okay? So let's start right here. That'll pick us up for just a minute. Romans chapter 8. So look at your neighbor and say, we're all saved by now. So I can start this chapter off with, therefore. Because you can't really just start off a chapter with therefore unless you know where it came from. Right? If you ever walk up to somebody and say, therefore we're going to get pizza, they're going to call you King James and you're not going to make any sense to them. You could say, grandma's paying, therefore we're going to get pizza. Then everybody will understand and everybody will want to go because grandma's paying. But we are saved, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those, look at your neighbor and say, that's you, who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature. Say sinful nature. And just say nature. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. Somebody could stop right there and say, thank you, Jesus. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. Fully met. What Jesus did, fully met it. Who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. This thing, nature, is taking on a bigger life right now. We who do, because of what Jesus did, we do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Now, I'm going to stop right here and write something, and then I'm going to explain it. Put it right here. Nature. You know, remember Nature Boy? They remember. Whoever woos, you remember the one I'm talking about. Scott's been coming here since the beginning. We used to walk by each other. I'd say something about Nature Boy. He goes, woo! There it is. If you can't see that, if I'm going too low, nature, desires, and conduct. Here's the thing. We all have a nature. What it's talking about, we all have a nature that you've got to deal with. And for the believer, you get a spiritual nature. For those who are still saved, you've still got to deal with the fleshly nature. Now you just know how. That's the thing, is God wants you to know how to deal with the fleshly nature. And you can't just feel like when you're dealing with your nature, because your nature is finicky. It's searching out things because your nature's where it starts at. People want to change this dude all the time. Your children will come home with a progress report that will include their conduct on it. Teacher right here, right, Anna? Conduct. They get a conduct grade. And we're always worried about the child's conduct, but how many of you know your conduct came from somewhere? So you can't change this dude until you deal with where it came from. Your conduct came from your desires. Now you have spiritual desires and you have fleshly. If you don't know what that word fleshly means, he's like, he's talking about skin. That's gross. Who's that man talking about? Talking about skin at church? So your flesh is your sinfulness, okay? So you have a spiritual nature and fleshly nature. And yes, you do. Just look at your neighbor and say, yes, you do have a spiritual nature. But look at them too and say, yes, you do have a sinful nature. Tell them that. Paul, the word carnal, come back to me now. The word carnal means fleshly. Paul said in chapter 7, Paul talks about all this spiritual stuff, but he says, but I am carnal. I'm fleshly. I have sinful flesh. The guy who wrote most of the New Testament says it very plainly. I am carnal. Carnal. He's going to talk about that in a second. The carnal is not a good thing. But you are that. And you have to deal with that. Just getting saved doesn't put it on cruise control. You have to take some responsibility for yourself. Do you remember when the Bible talks about getting self-control? So for Brad and Karen, so they know how good students you are, y'all tell them what, in the Greek, what does self-control mean? Control yourself. See, we're educated folks. We're edumacated folks around here. But Paul said, the things I want to do, the spiritual things, I don't do those things. I end up doing the things I don't want to do. He said, what a wretched man I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? That's why when the enemy accuses you of being a mess sometimes, he's right. Sometimes I'm a mess. Sometimes we're a mess. But God is good all the time. And God has paid the price for my sin. Somebody said, does he pay for your sin, past, present, and future? Let me tell you this. When Jesus paid for your sins, all your sins were in the future. Think about that. It doesn't mean that we have license to sin. No, no, no. Learning, it helps us understand this. So we have a nature that produces desires, and the desires produce the conduct. So if we want spiritual conduct, we can't just say, God, give me spiritual conduct. Give me spiritual conduct. I want to do these things. I want to do. I want to do this stuff. We got to work on desires. The Holy Spirit will put spiritual desires inside of you, and it'll come from your spiritual nature. Likewise, your bad conduct, your sinful conduct, the stuff that makes you want to run, that makes you want to hide, the things that makes you ashamed, the bones that rattle in your closet, the stuff that you don't like anybody to know about. And let's be clear, everybody, when you get saved, a lot of that stuff goes away. But for your whole lifetime, there will be at least one thing that the enemy continually tries to nail you with. Does anybody can say yeah? For some folks, it's lying. I just want you to know we're all in this boat. We're all in this boat. Okay? So my sinful conduct comes from my sinful desires and my sinful nature. You have sinful things that run through your mind, right? You have good things that run through your mind. You have to sift through which one of those things are going to bless you, which one of those things are going to bring this, and which one of those things are going to bring this. And you don't need to be trying to do a Christian walk when you're constantly dying in areas in your life. Dying to our flesh is the thing. Okay, so verse 5. Those who live according to, led by it. Those that walk this way. Those who walk, who live according to. The sinful nature, I'm using the NIV Bible this morning. I hope that doesn't trip you up too much, but it's like good. I don't typically use that, but it reads this story very well. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set. On what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. We just wrote that up here. The sinful mind is hostile to God, or another word for that is enmity towards God. That word enmity, I tried to be smart and look that up, and it simply meant that there's this thing that goes on in your mind. And well, the Lord don't want me to be smart in front of y'all. There it is. The carnal mind. It's called the carnal mind, the sinful mind. Enmity to God. It's just this word, metonymy. And I have to check. Did you know that word, metonymy? Huh. So this is for you. I finally got her on one. You want me to spell it? I love it. Metonymy. It is the equivalent to the cause of something. So the cause of enmity is the carnal mind. So here's an example of enmity right here. And metonymy is this. Like a businessman would have a suit. The suit would be for the businessman. So you have a racehorse on a track. The racehorse in relation to the track. That's the same thing that the carnal mind is enmity towards God. Does that fit together right there? The carnal mind is against God. And what it tells us about it, it's not only against God, it can never be for God. That's what you've got to realize. The spiritual mind is all for God. The carnal mind is against God. And it cannot change. That's why there is a war right here. And it will be won. This war will be won. You get to decide who wins it. This battle is actually won through surrender. How often does that happen? I surrender. Oh, then we've got a winner, folks. Sometimes it takes greater than you. Sometimes all God's waiting on you to do is to quit. Set your minds. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, look at your neighbor and say, you, real quick. You are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give your mortal bodies life through his Spirit who lives in you. So there's a couple things I got to pick up right here. I think I'm just going through verse 14. So I got a couple of verses before I get there. The way this thing is fixed is that you, according to Scripture, have to set your mind. Set your mind. Who sets it? You do. Okay. Now this, we're not going to talk about my artistic ability. It looks like a bone. I love it. Gold star for whoever said it. When a bone breaks, you have to go and have that bone set. And it becomes, they have to take it and put it back into the original position it needs to be in. And then they set it, and you get to walk around in a cast that'll hold that position for you even when you can't. But the end result of that thing is that something calcifies in that area. If you look at it on x-rays again, there's this calcium that has built up around it. And now if you ever break that bone again, chances are it'll break down here or it'll break down here, but it won't break right there. See, that's how your relationship is supposed to be with the Lord. You set your mind and you keep setting your mind. You renew it. Romans 12:2. You just keep renewing your mind. You keep setting it. You keep bringing it back into the position that it needs to be in. That's your responsibility, but your reward is what you get for getting it set that way. And God wants you to walk that way. He literally wants you to walk that way and has made it so that you can walk that way. But you know what happens when you don't set it? when you have two things going on at the same time, you know what that's called? Double-mindedness. And here's the thing about double-mindedness. God said this, Jesus said this about being double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Up sometime, down sometime, up sometime. And you can always tell where they're at because you can see it when they're coming. You don't know what you're going to get till they get there. But a double-minded person, you can't count on them for nothing. And you can say it's not their fault, but it is because they had a choice to set their mind. You got to set your mind because where your mind goes, your heart will follow. Bible doesn't say anything about being double-hearted. It says stuff about being double-minded because you get your mind right, your heart will stay single. So how do I do it? Colossians 3 and 1. I'm going to go there real quickly. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your minds. That's you take the action. Set your, makes it personal. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. It's telling you everything that needs to be done has been done. You remember what the last thing Jesus said? It is finished. Don't crucify him again. He didn't say, wait a second, let me go get back on the cross because Christine's having an issue. It's finished. You can either take that and advance in him and fix your position in him and fix your mind and set it. I've seen people let their mind get so just, it's like their mind just dances around. I want to do this till they get tired of doing this, and I don't want to do this anymore, I want to do that. You know, I don't want to do it anymore. I want to do this. It's like anything that glitters, they want to go do that. My dad used to call it, they said, the reason they're through with it is because somebody licked the red off the candy. I always thought that was funny. Thank you for laughing. That was courtesy. I'll take it. But God's not will, is it not for us to be unstable people? It's for us to be set people, fixed people, positioned. It doesn't mean that you can't have ever been broken. Has anybody ever been broken in your life? But not to continually be broken. Yes, there was some breaking in my life, but now I'm fixed and I'm set. Sometimes it might take some breaking for God to do that in your life. Some people say, will God touch my life and fix these things in me, or will he sometimes use his hand to do this, or sometimes do I have to pay for the consequences of things that I did, or do I have to pay for the things that I broke? I tell you what I believe. I believe sometimes God uses his hands. I believe God, sometimes he uses your hands. Some of the stuff I did, so that I realize I did it and I didn't fix it, but he did. So who do I give glory to? Him. Amen? So, but here's what he says too. In Psalm 37 and 4, it says, this is part of your choice. Delight yourself. That word means be glad. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you the desires of the heart. He will do this thing. And this is what... It comes by simple obedience and following his instruction, because he says this, you've been raised with Christ, so set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Set your mind where Christ is. Do you understand what he's saying? Where the anointing is, where things above are. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it tells you this. It says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. He gives you what to think on. He says, get your mind that is being fought over, elevated to where the anointing is at, where Jesus is, seated at the right hand of the Father, and keep it there. He's saying it's possible for you to live this way outside the hours of a Sunday morning. Because can a worship team show up at everybody's house? And I sure ain't going to come preach. And you don't need that. You need to take your mind and let it be elevated up to where Jesus is. Because elevation gets you closer to seeing things like he sees it. Set your mind on these things. I'm just going to stop right here and say this. God wants your mind to be active. Do you remember the scripture we talked about not too long ago that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you can ask or think? He's able to do past what you can think or imagine. And I talked to you about trying to stay present in the Lord, because your past, the enemy will try to get you thinking about your past. Does anybody ever here struggle with your past and what's in your past but shame and disappointment and heartache? And then if you shift, he can get you looking at your future. If you're not careful, fear and anxiety will be in your future. And it's one of the hardest things in the world to get Christians to be present, because God wants you to be present. If you can stay present, you can go to the place in him. You can elevate yourself up into him in a present situation and say, God, your anointing is at a place. I need to fix my mind where your anointing is at. And I need to stay right there. I need to constantly be where God wants to be to be in my mind. It's my life. I've got to protect it. It's my mind. I've got to protect it. If you open up your mind to other arenas, don't be surprised at what you get. What do we not understand about an enemy that wants to kill, steal, and destroy? What is hard about that? What takes an advanced degree to get that? Kill, steal, destroy. You would not buy insurance from somebody that's known that he kills, steals, and destroys. You would run from him, right? He's not your insurance agent. You would not order a hamburger from somebody that everybody knows this guy kills, steals, and destroys. There might be something weird in my food. You would run from somebody like that. But why do we dabble with an enemy who's been described to us by God's word? The truth of his word. And the truth of his word says this enemy is here to kill, steal, and destroy. And if your eye's on the enemy, you can't take your eye off of him, because if you do, he's going to kill, steal, or destroy. So why will you have your eyes on the enemy when you should have your eyes on your Savior? Life and peace. It's a choice, guys. It's that simple. You want to walk in victory? How many of you want to walk in victory? All the days of my life. Listen, it's not going to be hard for you to walk in victory on Sunday morning, because we're going to pull together and we're going to do the best we can to let you know you're victorious. We're encouraging you. If you're struggling, you don't have to leave here like you came in that mindset. But what about Monday? What about Monday? You can walk in victory then, but you've got to set your mind on these things. You've got to take the responsibility to do that, and God will help you do that. Will you come? I'm sorry I keep looking at the clock. I am very concerned about getting my friends to the airport, because that's a long ride on a 10-speed, and that's about all we could muster up to bless you with. Brad and Karen, I'm so grateful that they're here today. God will take people and surround you with the right people at the right time to speak things into your mind. Some of you in this congregation have sent me some text messages and things along the way that I just looked at and I've been like, God, thank you. Have you ever, I just want to encourage you to be proactive, because if you're not careful, well, I'll have you fixed leaving here thinking about just you. There is something powerful in thinking about the people beside you too and the people around you. I texted my pastor this morning, who I've tried to make that a habit of texting the people that are over me, just sending them a message, sending them a voicemail, sending them something. I know you're busy. You don't need to read a bunch of lines. I love you. I'm praying for you. God's going to use you so powerfully today. I tell you how far that goes with somebody. Sometimes just a simple message. Hey, I appreciate you. I love you. I'm praying for you. You mean something to me. You're mighty in the kingdom of God. Just how many of you sometimes it would just be feel so good if somebody just give you a pat on the shoulder and say, hey, you can make it. Can I tell you, when you set your minds on things above, when nobody's there to pat you on the shoulder, and that'll happen more times than not, that nobody's there to lift you up, he's there to lift you up. Get your mind set. You have an accuser, you have an enemy that's against you, that wants to run you down, that wants to make you think about all the bad that you've done, so that you don't get to the place of your future. And you can't get to the place of the future unless you stay present with where you're at now. Because God will move you through some things that you thought, good night, where are we going with this thing, God? Has that ever happened to anybody in this room? But that's where he builds trust inside of you. That's where he builds faith, and he helps you understand that his mercy is for me. Is anybody here thankful for God's mercy? And aren't you thankful that it's new every day, and that he said it's new every day? It's new every day because it has to be, because people are involved. And we wear yesterday's mercy out sometimes, don't we? Can you just tell him that you love him? God, I love you. I believe you're going to help me to protect my mind better. If anybody's failed in protecting your mind, let God use that. Let him redeem that. Say, God, would you please just redeem my failure? The enemy is trying to use that against me. Will you redeem that fact, that failure, and help me realize that is a place of death for me? That my mind is a particular place that needs to be guarded. And I know that you'll help me guard it. Help me to obey when your Holy Spirit says, no, that's not for you. Don't do that. Help me to realize that thing that's never blessed me is not going to start blessing me now. It's actually killing me. It's stealing from me. It's destroying me. It gets sometimes to the point that I don't even feel worthy to be in a church. I don't even feel worthy to pray to you, God. That's a lie of the devil. That's a lie of the enemy. Jesus shed his blood for you. Jesus is your Savior. And if you'll accept his finished work on the cross, you can walk this thing out. Jesus conquered. And he says that you're more than a conqueror. How? How could I be more than a conqueror? I've preached this several times. Where he conquers, I possess. Where I possess, my children inherit. What kind of benefit package is that? I'll take it. Can you ask God to conquer that place in your mind that you're struggling with? God, conquer it for me. That territory where the enemy thinks that's his, conquer that for me, so that I can possess that territory back and dedicate that to you. And where I have failed and given up that portion of my mind before, God, I'm going to replace it with thoughts of you on your throne and where you're at and where the anointing is, so that I can get to the place where you want me to be. And I am not stunned, and even worse, stuck, where the enemy is trying to keep me from my destiny. Last week I preached the word that's in that scripture at the end, that being predestined. And I'm not afraid of that word. I'm thankful for that word. predestined. It's a word that the makeup of the word is a contradiction. Predestined. Predestined. Pre means before. Destiny means ending. It's a word that contradicts itself. But until you realize what Jesus did, Jesus went to my ending before I ever got here. He went to my ending and he wrote it. Do you believe Jesus wrote your ending? Then all you've got to do, if you believe that, all you've got to do now is walk it. You say, God, help me walk it. Those that walk according to the Spirit will fulfill the desires of the Spirit. They that delight themselves in the Lord, He will give them the desires of their heart. Listen, one last thing. He's not saying those things that you want in life, He'll let you have them. Now, I'm not preaching that gospel. I'm not going to preach that gospel. I'm saying what I believe it really means. The desires in your heart, He'll give you the desires that go in your heart. He'll put in you the thing that goes in your heart where He can get glory out of your life. He will give me. What a gift. What an awesome trade-in. What a great exchange. If I've got desires in my heart that shouldn't be there, what an incredible exchange it would be for God to say, you know what, those desires, I'm ready to exchange those out for you. I'm ready to give you a desire. And I believe He's already putting it inside of you. I believe you're thinking about it right now. I believe it's inside of you. And man, if it's a desire to do something for Him and it seems bigger than something you can do, it probably is. But it's not too big for Him. If you know that God is putting desires in your heart, will you just take a moment right now and say, thank you for that, Lord. When He gives you a gift, say, thank you for it. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the gift. Thank you, God. Help me seek and move towards that thing. God, give me. Let me say that right. God, I thank you for the power over the enemy. But help me not to be the biggest stumbling block in my own life. Will you just put your hand on your head right now and say, my mind, God. Clear my mind of things that aren't pure. Clear my mind of things that don't bring honor to you, God. Clear my mind. And let me replace that with thoughts of you, Lord. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Can you say that right now with your hand on your head? Transform my mind. By the renewing of your mind, God, renew my mind right now by your power, so that I might prove that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Will you just tell Him thank you right now? Thank you, Lord. Lord, it just feels good to give it to you, roll it off to you. I surrender it all to you. Lord, you say that your yoke is easy and that your burden is light. And I take that and I exchange this heavy burden off. Take it off of me, God. I'll take your burden. I'll take your yoke. I love you, God. I believe that you're going to help me. So, Lord, I pray over everyone here this morning that you'll make our minds strong, God. Make our minds strong and you make our minds set. Every broken place, God, you are the great mender of my mind. Where my mind has been broken, you can go right back and repair my mind and make my mind strong again. You can restore a right mind to me so that I have a right heart to you. And I thank you for that, God, by your mighty power. It's only you that can do it, and it's only us that can allow it. And help us to do that, Lord. Allow you to do what only you can do. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Will you just do this for your neighbor, either whether you know him or not? Just say, I'm thankful for you. And can you say this? Can you just kind of like memorize their face for a second? Say, I'll pray for you. Look at your neighbor. Say, I'll pray for you. Look at him. Tell him, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you this week. I'll remember your face. And I will pray for you, okay? God bless you. I love you guys. Don't forget to mark your calendar for these things that we're talking about that's going on. And God be with you. God's going to help you. Please excuse us as we go. We got to get these folks out of here.